Rashi, I think we're going to do something about Shavuos this week, because as you know, it's going to be Shavuos this week. So I remember a couple of years ago, right before Shavuos, from Nissen Kaplan Shlita, from at that time, I think he was still in the Mir, came to Northwood Mir for a Shabbos, and he spoke in my shul before Shavuos. And he asked a very intriguing question that I hadn't really thought of before. He said, you know, considering that there's no Pasuk, nor Gemara, and really just like half of a medrash that talks about Har Sinai having flowers on it, why has the minhag become to decorate shuls with flowers on Shavuos? Meaning, like, it's one thing if, like, there's this rich literature about flowers on Shavuos, that it would make sense that you'd have such a minhag that would develop. But there's not, I mean, there's very little. There's, like, one little line of a medrash, something about Har Sinai having flowers. Why is that, like, what we grabbed onto, and we said, oh, that's what we're going to do. We're going to put flowers in our shul on Shavuos. Is it really an important part of Kabbalah Satorah? If anything, if I really wanted to reenact Kabbalah Satorah, we, you know, what was the moment of Kabbalah Satorah according to the Gemara Shabbos Peches? Kaf aleim har kigigis. We should take like cords and have beer kegs hanging from the ceiling, and that would be the way to decorate a shul. You'd have har kigigis. You'd have that kind of feeling. Flowers? Well, flowers, what does that have to do with anything? Why specifically commemorate such an important detail, an unimportant detail rather, like flowers? And to add to the problem, it seems really that even HaKadosh Baruch Hu doing that in the first place was like a totally unnecessary miracle. Flowers don't bloom in a desert, so why would Hashem have to decorate Har Sinai in such a miraculous way, right? It's totally against the motif of, like, you know, how to make a desert look nice. You don't have flowers growing in the desert. You know, nice deserts are, you know, with red sand, I don't know, in like Sedona or whatever. You don't have flowers growing in the desert. Was the sound and light show that HaKadosh Baruch Hu treated us to at Har Sinai not impressive enough? Like, he had to do this additional miracle of having flowers growing in the desert? So that's kasha number one. Why is it that we've connected so much to this miracle, and why did the miracle even exist? Why did it even have to happen? Second point about Shavuos, the Gemara in Pesachim Samachesam Beis has a discussion of how to most ideally celebrate Yom Tov. And there are two pesukim that give us conflicting impressions. One tells us that Yom Tov should be Lachem, and another says that it should be LaHashem. And that leads to machlokas as to the exact message that the Torah wants to convey. How should you celebrate Yom Tov? One opinion is that we're given two options of how to celebrate. O kula lachem, o kula lachem. Either completely engaged in the spiritual or completely indulging in the physical. Or the Torah is telling us to split our time. Chatzi lachem v'chatzi lachem. Half for ourselves, half for Hashem. And yet the Gemara says that hakol modim, that atzeres binanami lachem. That Shavuos, unlike every other Yantif, Hakol Modim, you need to have a Lachem element to Shavuos. It happens to be that Gemara is a very fascinating Gemara from a Torah Shabbal Peh perspective. Rav Yonasan Sachs always likes to point out that Rav Yosef Engel writes in one of his Svarim that we say every morning in the Yugim Midrash HaTorah Dresh Tahen, that one of the Midrash HaTorah and Dresh Ben is that if you have two contradictory psukim, how do we resolve the contradiction? You find the third pasuk that's Machriya Beinehem. So as a Yosef Engel, problem is we can't write psukim nowadays. So what if there is no third pasuk? You know, if it doesn't exist, you look high and low, there's no third pasuk. So you can't just make one. So what do you do when you have Shneksum Machishim Zezeh and there's no Kasav HaShlishi Machriya Beinehem? So that's what this Gemara is really talking about, Rav Yosef Engel says. You have one pasuk says Lachem, one pasuk says Lashem, it's Shneksum Machishim Zezeh. What do I do? What do I do without it in the absence of a third pasuk? So one shita is, what the Torah is trying to tell you, options. You have two options. You could do Lachem, or you could do Lashem. The other shita is, no, you have to somehow mix them together. Chatzi Lashem, Chatzi Lachem. But Hakol Bodin, everyone agrees about Seres, we must have some level of physical indulgence. We must have our good food, relaxation, whether it be cheesecake or whatever makes you happy, something that's delicious. Maybe that's a mucker for the over-the-top food at some shuls on Shavuos night. You know, you can't just have Lashem, you gotta have Lachem. So the carving stations and the sushi guy and whatever else, you know, that I'm sure I'm going to get emails from people out who don't live in the five towns saying, what are you talking about? Does this actually happen? And the answer is yes, it actually does happen. But anyway, it's so counterintuitive that of all Yom Tovim, Shavuos is one that needs lachem. If there were one Yom Tov that I would have assumed should be spent in pure spirituality, denying ourselves of sleep, pouring over the Dvar Hashem, it would be Zman Matan Tarasenu. So why is there a requirement of lachem on Shavuot specifically? And finally, a third question. Chaim Kanievsky raises the question. There are two mitzvahs of Sfiras HaOmer recorded in the Torah. There's a mitzvah to count Shiva Shavuos, and there's a mitzvah to count Chamishim Yom. The way we colloquially refer to the holiday is Shavuot, which is very clearly named after one of those formulations of the mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer. Well, why is it that we call it Shavuos and not Yamin? Meaning, why not name the holiday after the other way the Torah describes this Sfiras HaOmer, which culminates in this holiday? Why is it that Klal Yisrael has decided that we refer to this Yom Tov as Chag HaShavuos? So, three questions again. Those are the three questions. Number one, why the miracle of the flowers? And why is that something that we latch onto as a minhag? Number two, why is it that Dafka by Shavuos HaKol Modim, that you need Lachem? It seems counterintuitive. And number three, why is it that we refer to the Yom Tov based as Shavuos, which refers to the one formulation of how to count Sfira, and not Yamim, which is the other formulation of how to count Sfira? So this is an important Yesod, and it might be the most important Yesod in being a Jew. Other than, like, you know, believing in God and the Yud Gimli Kari Muna. But, you know, the most important idea to recognize about Kabbalah HaTorah is that the event is secondary to the long-term effect that it has in our lives. Let me say that again. The event is secondary to the long-term effect it has on our lives. Shavuos is not about celebrating a day where something awesome happened, where we received the Torah. Much more importantly, it's about making sure that the Torah impacts every day, making sure that we understand and appreciate how that day has impacted every day of our lives. As a mashal, you can go on an enjoyable vacation, have a great time, and later you reminisce about how pleasant it was. You show pictures or whatever. When someone who's married reminisces about their wedding, it's not about the wedding, or about the first time they met their wives, or the births of their children, or whatever event it was. It's so much more meaningful, because it's not about the wedding, it's not about the birth of the child, it's not about... We're not just looking back fondly at a good time. We're thinking about how that time changed our lives. People often complain that after 10 minutes being back from vacation, the effects have already worn off. When it comes to Kabbalah HaTorah, it can't just be a good vacation in the midbar. Like a nice event, and the effects have already worn off. No, every day thereafter was affected and impacted in an incredibly positive way by the fact that we had a Kabbalah HaTorah. The Gemara Pesachim Daf Samech Chesem Beis tells us Rav Yosef used to prepare a lavish meal on Shavuos, and he would explain, why am I making such a nice meal? Because he lav hayom the kagorim kami Yosef yika b'shuka. If not for this day, how many everyday Joes are there in the market? There's nothing to distinguish me from them other than the Torah itself, but because I'm such a gevaldik talmud chacham, so now I'm totally different than everybody else in the shuk. Sota daf mem tes, the Mishnah tells us, Mishmeis Rabbi Batla Anava, Am Rav Yosef, Al tisni Anava deika Ana. Don't say that Anava is batal because I'm still around. Okay, however you understand that, why it's appropriate to say that, you know, like, think it one thing, but why it's appropriate to say that. However you understand that, whatever definition or whatever nice vart you have in that Gemara, the Gemara is trying to tell us that Rav Yosef was an Anav. Right? I understand it doesn't jive with how he's the one to express it, but the Gemara is trying to... I was once talking to a very, very big Talmud Chacham, and he said, I'm a very big Anav, but he started the sentence with like, it just sounds so... But Rav Yosef said, so he said that he's an Anav, and we believe him, that he was an Anav. So what kind of statement, the Lav HaYom Kama Yosef Yika Bashuka, meaning I'm different than everybody else, I stand apart from everybody else. He highlights that he's different than everybody else because of the Torah that he learns. But maybe this is exactly the point. Rav Yosef, maybe he's not highlighting his uniqueness of what makes him greater than other people. What he's celebrating is the transformative effect the Torah has on every area of life. If not for the day of Kabbalah HaTorah, my days in the Shuk would be entirely different than they are right now. The Yosef in the Shuk, who is not a Ben Torah, is busy with his livelihood. But the Yosef in the Shuk with Torah is busy in Avodas Hashem. He doesn't walk through his workday the way that others do. Torah isn't just what we do early in the morning or we get home from work or whatever. It has an impact on every area of our lives. Ilav Hayoma, the Yosef that would be in the shuk, he's not comparing himself to other people. Kama Yosef Ika Bashuka, the Yosef that would be in the shuk would be an entirely different Yosef than the Yosef that's in the shuk right now. I'm a different Yosef because it's educated by Talmud Torah. You know, people have jobs that they do a lot of interesting things, and there are two ways to view it. You have to read Rav Lapiansky's Ben Torah for Life to try to find meaning in what you do. I was just talking to a caterer, a very close friend of mine this week, who works as a caterer for decades already, and he told me, you know what a chesed is? That I get to be there to help people enjoy simcha, to enjoy their simchas. Now, I don't know that every caterer looks at things that way. You know, probably some look at it like, you know how great it is that I get to charge this amount of money per plate for, you know, that I'm at the top of my game, and because of that, I can make this much money. No, that I look. Another good friend of mine is owns a grocery store. He says, I have the great zechus of providing kosher food for Klal Yisrael. Elamai, I have to charge for it, otherwise I'm not going to be able to keep doing it. You know, but so you make some money off of it when you charge for it. But I have the great zechus of being able to do it. When one's every activity is impacted by Kabbalah Satorah, his whole life is different. It's not just an event of Kabbalah Satorah. And based on that, Yisod, that most fundamental idea, we can answer all the questions that we began with. Why the flowers in our Sinai? Flowers, by their nature, are tzomeach. They are not stagnant. They grow, they bloom, their colors come out. A gigis would accurately represent the event of Kabbalah Satorah. But flowers symbolize life after Kabbalah Satorah. It's exciting, it's dynamic, there's growth, there's beauty. Sometimes it gets stepped on, and sometimes you have to recuperate. There's something to it that's more than just that one-time thing. Particularly poignant is the message of flowers in the desert. There's no Kedusha in the desert, and Har Sinai is no different than any other location outside of Eretz Yisrael prior to that moment. But for Hashem choosing to give the Torah there, there was nothing inherent about that mountain, there's nothing inherent about that location. But Torah can flourish anywhere, even in the unlikeliest of places. There was a time, not that long ago, that the entire United States was referred to by the Torah community as a midbar, as a desert. And how prophetic those words were. Yeah, it's a desert, and Torah can flourish in a desert. Torah can flourish anywhere. So Rav Soloveitchik, we always point out, Rav Soloveitchik used to say that if he could write a 14th Animamin, he had this dramatic flair of a way of saying things, and instead of just saying, I really believe this, if I could write a 14th Animamin, it would be that Vayihibin Sa'aron, that the Torah can travel anywhere. And maybe that's why Shavuos must have an element of Lechem. If it were a day of uninterrupted spirituality, it would be a beautiful commemoration of the event of Matan Torah. Parcha Nishmasan, you know, they had this incredible Gilui Shechina. But the point is to demonstrate how the Torah seamlessly fits into real everyday life. Everyday life necessarily involves eating and sleeping, and therefore on Atzeres, everyone is modeh, you need lachem. The greatest honor to the Torah is to use it in the context of everyday life. The Yom Tov is called Shavuos, Rav Chaim Kanievsky points out so beautifully. Because if you were to actually count 50 days and then celebrate, we'd be celebrating a day later. Right, meaning there are two times in the Torah, it's Shiva Shavuos or Chamishim Yom. Those numbers don't align. So we count 49 days and then celebrate the following day. Day 50 is the day we celebrate as Yom Tov, and that lands us in Vav Sivan. Ironically, according to Shitas Rabbi Yossi, the actual anniversary of Kabbalah Satorah is Zayin Sivan. It would be the day we would celebrate if we counted Chamishim Yom. Says Rav Chaim Kanievsky, maybe that's exactly what we're trying to draw attention to. That we celebrate Shavuos, not Yamin, because we celebrate not the day of Kabbalah Satorah. We celebrate another day. We celebrate Kabbalah Satorah on a day that isn't actually the day of Kabbalah Satorah. Because Kabbalah Satorah was not about that day. It's about every day. And therefore, when we're celebrating it, we want to make that point that it's not just an anniversary celebration. It's dafka not done on the anniversary. And that ultimately, for B'nai Yeshiva, it's a davar pashut. But for some reason, as people go on in life, it becomes less pashut. That the Torah is what helps to define our avodas Hashem in every area of life. It's impossible in my Mesorah from my Rebbeim, and I think it's a very clear Torah Hashkafa, is that it's impossible to be as good a Jew as you can be without a steady, consistent commitment to Talmud Torah. Meaning people could do a lot of wonderful things, a lot of tzedakah, and a lot of mitzvahs, and a lot of bein l'chaver, and those are all great things. And, you know, every mitzvah should be celebrated, and every mitzvah is wonderful. It's impossible for a Jew to be doing what he's supposed to be doing if you're not committed to Talmud Torah. With a daily commitment to Talmud Torah, that impacts the way you do everything else in your life. And when we celebrate the Yom Tov of Shavuos, we have this sense of Lechem, we have this sense of the flowers, the dynamic engagement with Talmud Torah that allows us to see how it affects every decision that we make, how it affects every circumstance that comes up. And that ultimately, I think, is the key message for the Yom Tov of Shavuos. Not just that it's Yom Matan Torah Seinu, but that it's Shiva Shavuos. It's after 7 weeks, because this is the Zman Matan Torah Seinu becomes every day. Kami Yosi Fika Bashuka. Whenever we're in the Shuk, we're always going to be inspired by the Torah that we learn. Okay.